Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning in your presence, grant that we might humbly confess our sins and rejoice in your grace. Open our hearts to hear the message from your word and move us then to apply that message to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome to all of you to the worship service this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit may be poured out upon us abundantly as we worship our Savior this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen. We follow the order of worship as you find it printed in the liturgy pamphlet in the front cover of the maroon hymnal. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and to serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. Of heavenly joy and peace on earth, we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good proceeds, grant to us, your humble servants, that by your holy inspiration we may think the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of our scripture lessons on this Sunday is recorded in the book of the prophet Hosea. We read there selected verses from chapters 5 and 6. Beginning with the 13th verse. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his sores, then Ephraim turned to Assyria and sent to the great king for help. But he's not able to cure you, not able to heal your sores. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a great lion to Judah. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off with no one to rescue them. Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flash like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Here ends the first lesson. Let's join now in reading responsively portions from Psalm 119 as you find printed in your worship bulletin. Oh, how I love your law! I have more insight than all my teachers.
For I meditate on your statutes.
I have more understanding than the elders.
For I obey your precepts.
I have kept my feet from every evil path.
So that I might obey your words.
I have not departed from your laws.
For you yourself have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste. Our next Bible lesson is drawn from the letter of Paul to the Romans. We read there in chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. And yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, "it was credited to him," were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to stand as we now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 15 in the liturgy pamphlet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our word of God for consideration today is found recorded in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, the CLC General Pastoral Conference will be held this week in Wisconsin. I'm planning to head there today in that direction. And then afterwards, I plan to spend some time, Lord willing, visiting family in the land of 10,000 lakes, Minnesota. I have fond memories of family vacations from years gone by spent in the state of Minnesota. On a number of occasions, we would travel there and stay at a cottage owned by an uncle on Lobster Lake near Alexandria to the west and north of the Twin Cities. My dad and sibling sister and I would climb aboard a little skiff boat in the early morning as the shades of night were being chased away by the rising sun. And then we'd spend some leisurely hours fishing for bluegills, crappies, once in a while a northern. If we were unlucky, bullhead catfish. And on the days that we returned to shore with a good catch, we would then scale the fish, fillet them, put them in the icebox in the cottage, and Mom would then take the fillets, dip them in flour, fry them up for us to enjoy. I can still smell the tasty fillets cooking in the cottage, nothing like fresh out of the lake sunnies. Can you imagine what it was like for Simon Peter to land that ginormous fish catch on Lake Gennesaret? Well, we want to think about that in the sermon today, and we want to see how Jesus used this event, this miracle, to teach Peter some valuable lessons for the work that he would later be called to do for Jesus as a fisher of men. We want to join up with Peter in spirit on the lake shore and behold with him the Savior's glory as the Lord instructs us all about treasuring especially the blessings of his saving word, of looking to Jesus also for our day-to-day earthly blessings, and to receive all of our blessings in humble faith and thankful service to our God. So Peter and his fishing partners, they'd spent the whole night out on the water without any success. No crappies. No sunfish, not even any bullheads. As we meet up with them on the shore, we now observe them washing their nets, setting them in order for the next go-round of fishing on the next day. And we also can observe Jesus standing nearby, teaching the words of eternal life to a crowd so vast that it was very difficult for them all to hear. And so Jesus, as we heard, got into Simon's boat, had him row it out a short distance, and then continued his teaching session from there so that everybody could hear. One lesson that the Lord teaches us here is to treasure especially the blessings of his saving word. Consider how, even though Peter was in the middle of a very important task that related to his livelihood, cleaning the tools of his trade, his nets, putting them in order, getting them ready for the following day's fishing excursion, yet Peter, realizing the exceeding value of the treasures of the gospel that Jesus was wanting to share with the people through his teaching, was very happy to lend him his boat. And again, as important as it was for him to bring home the bacon for his family, he treasured especially the food for his soul by which the Savior would bolster his faith and lend him guidance for his life as a child of God. We, like Peter, all have tasks, don't we, that need to get done, that need our attention, take up our time. We have responsibilities related to our daily work assignments, bringing home the bacon for ourselves and our families. We have chores that need to be tackled related to maintenance and upkeep of our homes, cleaning, cooking up tilapia for dinner or whatever, recreational activities. Children also have school activities during the year, summer activities during the non-school year, time for playing and having fun, but Jesus teaches us here to remember that all these pursuits and interests and diversions which take up the minutes of our day, he and his word treasures are especially what are precious. And he wants us to set aside time for receiving these treasures, to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us from the pages of Scripture through daily devotions and through church attendance and by quiet pondering of the sacred truths of the gospel by which he reveals to us, reminds us, comforts us with the wonders of his love that led him to give up his very life on the cross for our sins, by which he blotted out our transgressions from God's sight, by which he strengthens us in our faith and lends us with guidance for our lives as his disciples in a spiritually mixed up, crazy world until the day when we arrive at the heavenly shore. Another lesson, another good one the Lord teaches us along with Peter is to look to him to supply all our daily earthly blessings. Our text informs us how the Savior, after finishing his teaching session from his makeshift pulpit, instructed Peter to put down the net into the deep waters and cast out his net for a catch. Peter, as we've already noted, had spent the whole night fishing without any success. And as an experienced fisherman, certainly Peter knew which hours of the day were the best for fishing and where all the best spots were in the lake to get a good catch. I remember going out on Lobster Lake with my dad and my sister. We would put down anchors, places we knew were especially good for fishing in the shallow part of the lake. Peter may have been tempted to think, you know, Jesus, he's a carpenter by trade, and I'm a professional fisherman. Makes no sense to launch out into the deep water and in an unfavorable time of the day. But no, he didn't go by what he thought was best. He followed Jesus' word of instruction and faith, knowing that Jesus could use his power to do whatever he wished. And lo and behold, he and his comrades threw their nets over the side of the boat into the deep water. They enclosed such an enormous shoal of fish that their nets started to tear, so they had to signal their partners, James and John, in a nearby boat to quickly row over and lend them help. And then they filled up both boats with the fish such that they almost sank. Powerful demonstration, isn't it, of the Lord Jesus' ability and desire to supply for his disciples all that they needed for their earthly bodily needs. Later on, as Peter and the others went out about their work as fishers of men, the Lord did the same, provided for them as they preached the gospel very generously. Jesus wants you, dear friends, to draw great comfort from this in your lives as his disciples today, as you trustingly put first things first. You hear and learn his word as you worship him here at church, as you fathers and mothers train up your children in the way they should go, to know that he's going to add all that you need for your day-to-day earthly needs. Think back on your life. Every one of us could probably tick off on our fingers examples of the Lord supplying our needs in sometimes very amazing ways. Not always supplying necessarily what we want, but always what Jesus knows that we need in terms of food and clothes and all our daily bread. It's also true, friends, when following the Lord's commands with a heart of faith seems like an inadvisable thing to do, when it might seem we're setting ourselves up to get hurt somehow, materially or financially. When you give up maybe hours of employment, hours of overtime to give attention to the one thing needful, when we reserve time in our busy schedules for family devotions, to worship Jesus here at his house, when we volunteer for tasks that need to be done at church, when we bring in our thank offerings to the Lord, place them on the altar that we could perhaps spend on other things, Jesus will see to it that we come short no blessings. He will keep his promise to us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And as Paul also wrote in his letter to the Corinthians, that glorious two-chapter section 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians on the subject of Christian giving, he said, "Let each one of you give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and he's able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work." Haven't we found that to be true? And finally, let us behold with Simon Peter the Savior's glory as he counsels us about receiving all of the Lord's blessings for body and soul in a humble faith and in thankful service. We read here that when Peter saw that ginormous catch he and his fishing partners had landed, he cried out, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He He's led suddenly to a realization of the identity of the person sitting in the boat with him. I mean, he knew it before, who Jesus was, but now it really hit him. The glorious Son of God is in my presence, the almighty creator of the heavens and the earth, who holds in his hand the forces of nature. And Peter was struck with a sense of his own unworthiness. Who am I, sinner that I am, that I should even be in the presence of the Holy Son of God? Notice Jesus' response to Peter's confession. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. I'm going to use you, Peter, to catch more than trout and tilapia. I'm going to use you to gather in souls for my kingdom using the net of the gospel. After which we read that Peter and his companions pulled up their boats on the shore and they left everything and they followed him. So Peter received the Lord's blessings in humble faith and now offered himself to the Lord in thankful service. So do we. So we should ever pray, the Lord enable us to do that. When we notice all the material benefits for our souls the Lord lavishes upon us, his merciful dealings with us all throughout the course of our lives, treating us not as our sins deserve, but according to his steadfast love. No, he doesn't call all of his disciples to serve him in the exact same way that he called Peter. He's not called you, for example, to leave your secular vocations as a teacher or a plumber or a computer geek or the full-time job that you have as a retiree, often the way it is, to serve the Lord in full-time ministry work. No, he calls most of his disciples to serve him in just whatever station in life he places us. From whatever the pulpit is that he's given to us. He uses different kinds of pulpits, just like in our story, to present to people the saving truths of his word. It might be a booth at a restaurant where you're visiting with somebody, or a break room table at the place where you work, or a living room couch where you as a dad are sitting with your children at home. It might be a stadium seat as you cheer on your team at the ballpark, perhaps a seat on an airplane taxiing for takeoff on the runway, or a picnic table at a rest area as you're taking a break driving on the freeway. As you go about your daily activities, do not be surprised to see the Lord providing you with an opportunity to let down your net for a catch. And if you should say, friends, you know, I shared the gospel with Uncle Charlie, or that coworker Jack, or that friend Betty at the gym, it didn't seem to do any good. Keep in mind, you can't tell what goes on beneath the surface of the water, between under the waters of the human heart. Even if you row back to shore empty-handed today, who knows, but that the next time you let down the net, a soul will be captured. The friend you invited to church may be moved by the Spirit to accept. The relative you witnessed to who shrugged off the message of Jesus you shared with a cold shoulder may be attracted by the gospel light. And on the last day, when we enter the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare, I dare say, we are going to see many people who perhaps never joined a church, who perhaps seemingly did not respond at all to our sharing with them the words of Christ, but later were led by the Holy Spirit and his power working through the word to anchor their hopes for forgiveness and life eternal in Jesus the Savior. Began by telling the story of vacation fishing trips I went on as a boy. One trip I'll never forget. My dad and sister and I went out on the water on an especially good fishing morning, pulled in whoppers right and left. When it was time to go back ashore, we pulled up anchor. My dad grabbed hold of the metal fishing basket, which had been draped over the side of the boat, into which we had put our vast haul. He unhooked it from the stringer that he used to tie it to the boat, and he lost hold of the basket, and plop, down it sunk to the bottom of Lobster Lake. All our work turned out to be for naught. That will not happen with the catch that you land for Jesus. We read in John's Gospel these words of the Savior, chapter 6. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Praise the Lord, and thank him for the privilege that he's given to you to be involved in this blessed fishing work of souls for him. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.
We desire to offer prayer. We have one special petition today, and that is a prayer for fathers on this Father's Day. And then also our altar prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, by faith we see in you an example of perfect fatherhood, and in Christ Jesus our Savior, perfect sonship. May we, your adopted family through Christ, learn also to live in our earthly families according to your will. Help Christian fathers everywhere to exercise love, understanding, discipline, and compassion for their children, just as you have dealt with us. Lead us in turn to honor and obey our fathers, just as the Savior was subject to you. Secure in Christ, we celebrate this special day for fathers and thank you for the blessings you've given us through our fathers. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bless you for your inspired word written through the prophets and apostles, for it is by that word that you have revealed your grace and have given us great and precious promises. We beseech you to bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, that we may grow in the knowledge of our Savior and ever be comforted by your faithfulness in the fulfillment of your word. We especially thank and praise you for your love in bringing us from death unto life by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our place, and by the power of his resurrection. Give us, O Father, the spirit of your love, so that loving you above all things, we may also show your love by what we say and do to others. Wherever we find people in want or need, give us hearts of compassion so that we are eager to share the blessings you have given us. And grant, dear Lord, that those to whom we show compassion may be moved to glorify you. We thank you, dear Father, that by the merits and mercies of Christ our Lord, we've been healed of the disease of sin and that through the proclamation of this gospel, you have invited all people to come and likewise be healed. We pray that we may join your whole church on earth in bringing this invitation to all nations, and that many may respond with ready and willing hearts. Send your messengers forth to confront the world with its sin and to invite troubled sinners to perfect cleansing by the blood of Christ. Grant that all to whom your word is preached may respond with hearts of faith, casting aside all self-righteousness and trusting only in Christ. We ask your special guidance, protection, and comfort for the sick and the sorrowing, the aged and the lonely. Tenderly bestow upon them your mercy and show them what great things you have prepared for your children. Hear our prayer, O Father, and if there may be anything else we should have asked, grant it according to your abundant mercy. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. 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 Almighty Father, bless the world.